Welcome to CNN Sunday. I'm Chris Wallace. Now, let's get after it. That's right, it's the Weekly Worldview. I'm your host. Get out of here, Chris. Back off, buddy. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, and we don't welcome the likes of Chris Wallace here on those. Chris Wallace obviously sees an opening with the departure of Fredo Cuomo. And how long until Fredo lands at Fox? He would fit right in, right? He could do the workout with the women in the spandex on the morning show, and they could give each other tattoos. What? Why not? I mean, Donald Trump convinced the whole world, primarily via Fox News, that he was a conservative and continues to do so. So why shouldn't Fredo be giving Gavin Newsom's ex-fiance a tattoo on the morning show on Fox? Why not? That's all I got to say. All right. So was it his ex-wife? I thought it was his ex-fiance. Oh, wife. They were actually married. I did not know that. We're referring, of course, to the plastic one. I can't remember her name. It escapes me. She looks like a... All right, well, we'll leave that alone because that's not nice to attack somebody because of their looks, even though they paid a lot of money to have those looks installed artificially. Still not very nice. And besides, God doesn't really care about Fredo Cuomo or Chris Wallace, right? I mean, what does God care about? He knows that the likes of Chris Wallace and Fredo Cuomo and Donald Trump, he knows they're just a bunch of blind fools. But he cares about his servants. Let's go to the book of Isaiah. Huh? You weren't ready for this? Get ready for it. It's the book of Isaiah. God asks, who is blind? Who is blind? But my servant. Or deaf as my messenger, whom I send. Who is blind as he who is perfect? And blind as the Lord's servant? Seeing many things, but you do not observe. Opening the ears, but he does not hear. See, God cares about us, his people, when we're blind. His warning goes out to those who name his name. The Fredos and the Wallaces and the Trumps. I mean, they're chaff being burned up, as always, in the ordinary daily course of life. But God is concerned with his people, me and you. He's concerned with us wherever we construct a blind spot. Or instead of looking God straight in the face, we turn a little bit to the left or to the right. Whenever we show him a shadow instead of our whole being, our whole heart, that's what God cares about. And we all do it, and we all need him to stop it. And we're thankful that you're here listening to the Weekly Worldview, and we're thankful that he's here helping us to try to help you to comprehend and deal with the news of the week through the lens of original thought right here at the Weekly Worldview. All right, we'll move on from all of that. Start off with a sermon. There you go. Okay, so we go from there to the feel-good story of the week, which is at a pizza shop in, where is this? Spring Garden. That could be in any state in America. There's at least one Spring Garden neighborhood in every metropolitan area in the country. But this particular spring, what was it? Spring Valley? No. What did I say? For crying out loud, I can barely read the story. The Spring Garden neighborhood of Philadelphia or a suburb thereof. That's right. We go to a pizza shop where police arrived at the pizza shop shortly before 10 p.m., meaning it was dark. And they saw blood on the floor, and they asked an employee what was going on. An employee told the police that three men had entered the pizza shop demanding money. And the poor lady at the counter said she couldn't open the safe because she didn't have the code. So one of the men, one of the robbers, one of the bandits, he reached across the counter and began to choke the woman because she didn't have the code to open the safe. Well, little did the robber know that the woman's 14-year-old son walked into the room and pulled out a gun and shot him once in the face. It's the feel-good story of the week. I mean, it wasn't feeling too good right up until then. Up until then, it was feeling just like a lot of retailers and a lot of shop owners across America are feeling right now, scared and threatened and choked. But then the 14-year-old son shoots the robber in the face. Officers followed a trail of blood and found the suspect. Really? Is he a suspect? The kid said, "I shot him in the face." The cops found him bleeding out of his face. Heavily, by the way. He's bleeding heavily. Investigators are unaware if the suspect was armed during the robbery or if he was merely pretending to have a weapon, which the 14-year-old... No, it doesn't matter, number one. If he was pretending to have a weapon, he deserved to be shot in the face. And the 14-year-old son, he was not pretending. Police have confirmed that the 14-year-old was not pretending to have a weapon. It's the feel-good story of the week. So, all right. No, we feel terrible about the state of crime in America. The fact that our governing officials have allowed the lawlessness to crescendo to a level that is shocking and should be terrifying to all of us. It is terrifying to the people being smashed and grabbed and choked. And so what do we have? We have men in their 50s and 60s and 70s ruling the land. And who do we depend on to actually protect us? A 14-year-old with a pistol. That is an apt analogy to the state of politics and justice and everything in America. And it's not really an analogy because it actually happened. He actually had to shoot the guy choking his mom out for pizza money in America circa 2021. So we go from from the feel-good story of the week, we go to the broken clock file where we check in with one Elon Musk to prove the axiom that a broken clock is right at least twice a day. Elon Musk has been consistently warning that population decline will be the death of civilization. Now, I did not know this. I was not aware of this. As far as I knew, Elon Musk is just a vacuous bamboozler who has built the government out of more billions of dollars than any single person, I think, in the history of all humankind. He has bamboozled foolish and ignorant politicians out of giving him more of our grandchildren's money than any man before him. That's all I knew about Elon Musk. And I thought his cars are kind of cheap looking and cheap feeling. And it's like a Tercel, but, you know, without the class. Now, if you drive a Tercel, God bless you. I think it's a great car. Don't get me wrong. I don't have to say that. I wouldn't have a Tercel, but if you do, I got nothing against you. Elon Musk. Back to Elon Musk, for crying out loud. Do I always have to worry about insulting everyone? I don't. If I insult you, what did I say? I said something about a Subaru one time, and the lady was like, "I drive a Subaru." And I was like, "Okay, well, I'm sorry. So you drive the same car as the derelict, decrepit pervert that I was just describing." And during the story, I described the fact that he was driving a Subaru. So did I mean to say that you're a derelict, pervert, scum, piece of garbage? I did not. You just happen to drive the same car, and if you're offended, maybe, I don't know, you need to toughen up a little bit. Take it easy, all right? Elon Musk was speaking to the Wall Street Journal, at a Wall Street Journal conference, I should say, where he reaffirmed his statements about global population. Here we go. He says, "There are not enough people. One of the biggest risks to civilization is the low birth rate and the rapidly declining birth rate," said Elon Musk. And apparently he's noticed this for quite some time, and people think he's really smart because of this. At least the people at Breitbart, they think that Elon Musk is pretty smart because, hey, he didn't just start saying this. He tweeted it in 2017. Yeah, in 2017, Elon Musk tweeted, quote, "The world's population is accelerating towards collapse, but few seem to notice or care." 2017. He tweeted in 2019, quote, The real issue will be an aging and declining world population by 2050, not overpopulation, unquote, Elon Musk, 2019. The guy must be some kind of genius. We here at the Weekly Worldview have been documenting the population implosion for approximately 20 years. And no one ever accuses me of being a genius, except my extremely attractive audio engineer. And that's only when I'm cleaning the house. Because it's only when I'm cleaning the house that my extremely attractive audio engineer knows that I know exactly what I'm doing. Because if there's one thing that the United States Marine Corps teaches a man to do, it's how to clean house. So that's the only time that we don't have any arguments or she doesn't disagree with the way I do things in some little way is when I'm cleaning the house. Because she knows, step back, this guy knows what he's doing. Give him a mop, give him a broom, get out of his way. All right, so Elon Musk, oh, by the way, folks, just to continue documenting this global population catastrophe, the global birth rate has fallen from 3.2 live births per woman in 1990 to 2.3 in 2020. So can you do the math on that, kids? That's 30 years. That's about a generation. That's a catastrophic population inversion. Catastrophic. The implications of that are not comprehensible because nothing like this short of a global catastrophe has ever occurred before. Not among free, civilized people. It's just never happened before. And then the generation that's alive is utterly consumed with entertainment, pornography, and comfort. And so there's just no civilizational parallel that I'm aware of. And if there is, it's probably in the Bible. And it's probably in Isaiah or Jeremiah, probably one of the really angry prophets. That's probably where we'll uncover it. Let's see, anything else? U.S. birth rates have fallen every year for the past 6 years. Elon Musk has 6 sons. So there you go. I mean, I'm not going to... You got to give credit where credit is due. The guy's a genius. He's noticed for almost 4 years that the global population is a problem. And thank you, Elon. No, I'm not going to buy one of your cars, but I will give you credit where credit is due. All right. Now, we go from there into the domestic tranquility file where we just check in with Taylor Delane Green, a 31-year-old mother out in Yuba County. Is that California or is that Arizona? I don't know. Yuba County, I'm not sure. Anyway, it's in the United States of America, okay? It pretty much could be any town. Taylor Delane Green. Charges have been filed against her stemming from an incident from last Monday. It's California, Yuba County, California. The Highway Patrol was called with a report of a vehicle blocking the road. And so the police showed up and they checked on the vehicle. When the officer got out of his car and checked on the vehicle, he heard screaming coming from a nearby irrigation canal. And then the officer, according to, I think this is the Associated Press, it's Yahoo News, which I think is the AP anymore. According to the AP, the officer allegedly found Green in the weeds, possibly under the influence of something. So he allegedly, because the AP can't state anything unequivocally as a fact, especially if a cop said it. But the cop says he found her in the weeds in the irrigation canal, possibly under the influence of drugs. He approached her and he saw that she was holding her 4-year-old son face down, smothering him in the muddy embankment in the water in the irrigation ditch. Allegedly. Because the cop could just be making this all up, you know, because, you know. Now, the officer allegedly reached for the child while the mother completely submerged herself and her son in approximately 5 feet, allegedly, of water. It could have been 4 feet. Could have been 5 feet, 6 inches. We're alleging it was 5 feet of water that she plunged her and her baby son under in front of the cop. So what did the cop do? Well, allegedly, he jumped in the water and freed the child from the grasp of the insane, maniacal mother. Then the mother started fighting with the cop, trying to pull both him and her 4-year-old son back under the water. And the cop allegedly held her son in one hand and fought off the insane, deranged, maniacal mother trying to kill the boy with the other hand. Allegedly. The cop is allegedly a hero. Allegedly. We're not willing to. Anyway, he says he fought with the mother for several minutes while holding her son in his other hand. She tried to take his gun several times, allegedly. He's probably making that up. Just so he appears more heroic. Anyway, at the end of the day, the boy was allegedly saved by the cop. How do we know that? He's allegedly still breathing. So why is there a declining, why is this catastrophic population inversion occurring circa 2022 here, right in front of our eyes? Because an entire generation has been taught that killing your child is an option for solving a stressful situation. Here we find a mother, Taylor Green, 31 years old. She's stressed out. She's got a 4-year-old. No doubt the kid's father's nowhere to be found. He's probably on drugs somewhere or a loser somewhere. He's playing video games and consuming pornography and marijuana somewhere. Probably, allegedly. While the mother is under a lot of stress, and what has society taught her? Well, that killing her child is an option. One of the options in solving the problem is to kill the child. And we thank God that the police officer, just like we thank God that he is here to help us, we thank God that this police officer was there to help save the boy. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. Thank you very much. Had to wait for that drum. Had to get that one in there. That's the whole, that gives you the whole vibe of the song. So let's see. Do I want to do the local news speak? Do you folks watch the local news? We watch the local news because we want to see the weather. So we just want to see the weather. We want to see, are we going to freeze tomorrow? Is it going to rain? Do I need an umbrella? Right? Do I need snow tires? What? So I think that's reasonable to watch. But when the local news is one of the most, I want to say politically correct, but that's not even close to what it is. Propaganda. It's a propaganda. It's the most efficient propaganda tool for middle age and older people, because most of us grew up, we watch the local news. We're helpless. We sit in front of local news, and for most of the hapless, vacuous idiots out there, they're utterly bamboozled by the local news. But I don't want to do that right now. I'll get back into that. The local news. Let's start with, well, let's go to Switzerland for an update on the suicide of Western civilization. In Switzerland, a new 3D printed suicide machine has been declared legal by the government of Switzerland. It was created by a guy named Phil in Switzerland. He's the founder of a suicide advocacy group. A suicide advocacy group, he said. Uh-huh. So the founder of a suicide advocacy group has invented a suicide machine. Yeah, uh-huh. No conflict of interest there. Let's see, he was interviewed, not arrested, he was interviewed by SwissInfo.ch, where the maniacal killer said, quote, "It's a 3D printed capsule activated from the inside by a person intending to die." Is that a French accent? That's not a Swiss accent. So how can I do a Swiss accent? The thing about a Swiss accent is it's somewhere between a French accent and a German accent, but it's more diabolical. And it's kind of hard to pull off. So in the interview, the killer said, "It's a 3D printed capsule activated from the inside by the person intending to die.
The machine can be towed anywhere for the deaths.
Unquote. That's right, folks. You can hook the car up to any vehicle, except maybe a Tesla or any other electrical vehicle, because their towing capacity is somewhat questionable. Don't hook it up to the new Ford Bronco electric or the Mustang, or you want to hook this up to an F-150 or something similar. And you can hook it up to any, you hook it up to your family SUV and tow the suicide pod anywhere you want to be. That's right. There's no need for troops. There's no need for army troops to tow it with a military vehicle like they did back in Poland in World War II. No, 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 no. It won't be Nazi troops with the death wagons like it was back in the 1930s. No, no, no. This time, it will be doctors and nurses, and then eventually friends and family out for a drive in the country with grandma.
Come, grandmother, let us go out into the country. Get into the family SUV.
Yeah. Again, according to the killer, I'm not going to name the guy, but his name is Phil from Switzerland.
He says the person will get into the capsule and lie down. They will be asked a number of questions. And when they have answered, they may press the button inside the capsule in their own time. It's really up to them, you see. Not up to me. No, I don't want to kill anyone. No. Never. Niet. Nein.
I don't know the Swiss. Yes. According to ReformationCharlotte.org, where I got the story, the actual method of death is a flood. The interior of the capsule is flooded with nitrogen, reducing the oxygen to 1%. In about 30 seconds, the person, according to the killer, the person will feel a little disoriented and then may feel slightly euphoric.
Euphoric, I said, before they lose consciousness. Quite delightful, right?
Unquote. Yeah, the killer, the founder of Exit International, who invented his 3D printed suicide capsule that you can tow along with grandma and grandpa in the family's SUV, says he intends to demedicalize the process of assisted suicide. Since it's already been demilitarized in Europe, and it's been medicalized, now he wants to demedicalize it and remove any kind of psychiatric review from the process of killing people. I'm sorry, did I say killing people? I meant killing yourself, which is totally different. One has nothing to do with the other. Keep looking, folks. This way to the egress. There's nothing to see here, ladies and gentlemen. Just a suicide capsule. Yeah, from there we go to the Big Math file. Big Math. Okay, are you ready for Big Math? Now, this is not racist math. This is not racist math. This is just straight up mathematics. We go to, let's see, WPXI reports that last Monday, about 500,000 adult portable bed rails were recalled. Uh-huh. Yeah, now this is a so-called, an alleged voluntary recall issued in conjunction with the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. Uh-huh. That's when a company is ordered to comply with a voluntary recall. The U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission sends them a nice letter and says, hey, by the way, folks, these are bed rails for old people. They're bed rails for your grandma or grandpa. You put them up on the bed so that they don't fall off when they're old and maybe they have dementia or whatever. Anyway, it's a railing around your bed, okay? So 500,000 of them are produced, and the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission has recorded two deaths, one in February 2011, one in February 2015. One was a 93-year-old woman, the other a 92-year-old man. Because of these two deaths, after about 500,000 of these bed rails were sold, a voluntary recall was suggested by the Consumer Product Safety Commission, and the company Drive Devilbus Healthcare is they're complying. The U.S. Consumer Safety Commission urged consumers to report any related incidents because, you know, it's so scary what's happening with the bed rails. Meanwhile, folks, now this is where the big math comes in. Try to stretch your brain. In the FDA VAERS system, the Vaccine Adverse Events Recording System, there's been about 20,000 deaths associated with the so-called COVID vaccine. Now, let's do some big math, okay? There's about 460 million people who have been vaccinated, right? 460 million. So let's say on the low end, there's 20,000 dead. Let's say on the high end with VAERS, as it's been estimated it only records somewhere between 1 and 10% of the actual adverse events. Let's say there's somewhere between 20 and 200,000 dead people. Okay, because it's all just math. If there's 20,000 dead, that's a death rate of 0.0043. If there's 200,000 dead, that's a death rate of 0.04. Okay, write that down, children. That's big math for you. Now, how many serious injuries have there been related to the so-called COVID vaccine? Okay, well, somewhere between 500,000 and 5 million people have suffered significant injury or significant adverse events. So that's somewhere between 0.1 and 1%. Okay, write that down, kids. I know it's big math. It's hard. If you're black, you have to write it down twice. And if you're Mexican, you have to write it down 1.5 times to make sure that you get it, because this math may be inherently racist. So if you're anything other than white, you might want to study it twice as hard, because we know that you're twice as dumb if we listen to Fredo Cuomo on CNN. Okay. Fredo's gone. That's right. So all of a sudden, the minority kids are at least 4 or 5 IQ points smarter just by Fredo Cuomo leaving the air. Now, where was I? So 0.1 to 1% have suffered significant injuries from the vaccine. Now, let's go back to these bed rails, folks. You got 500,000 bed rails that were produced. Two people, both in their 90s, died, allegedly, related to these. So, folks, that is a serious injury or death rate of 0.00039. And if you're doing the math, that's a lot less than the vaccines, okay? And it doesn't even take really big math. It's relatively simple math that would say that if the government had any integrity, they would have recalled these vaccines because of all the dead and injured people. Okay, that's all I'm saying. And I'll move on. And by the way, when I was talking about the black kids and the brown kids, I was being sarcastic, just so that, you know, nobody comes and burns my house down. I think black kids and brown kids are just as smart as white kids. There, can I say it any more clearly? In fact, maybe they're better. Is that what I need to say? I think maybe they're better, sir. May I have another? All right, meanwhile, let's go to Kentucky, where there was a tornado outbreak. Horrible tragedy. Now, this is a genuine tragedy, folks. Tornadoes break out. They think maybe 100 people were killed. And in America, 100 people killed by a weather disaster, that's terrible. It's almost unheard of that 100 people get killed by the weather in America. And so there are fears that there could be 100 people killed throughout Kentucky and a number of other states. And it's awful. Is there a vaccine for that? So, no word on if the dead were vaccinated. Strange that you bring that up, he said to his extremely attractive audio engineer, who's brown, by the way. She's not white.
Yellow.
Just so you know. No, you're not yellow, you're brown. She's an interesting mixture between yellow and brown. Anyway, where was I? Ah, interesting that you bring up the vaccine. Now, first of all, I want to say that people spend an enormous amount of time talking about the weather. Have you noticed that? We all do it. I do it, you do it, we all do it. In fact, we watch the weather on the local news, even though it's like brain torture. Every other segment of the local news reduces our IQ by at least 0.05 points to where if we don't stop, eventually we'll be imbeciles. But we want to catch the weather, right? And we talk about the weather a lot. All of us do. I think talking about the weather is a way to avoid talking about things that are really important and things that make us uncomfortable, which most of us do throughout most of our lives. We spend most of our time trying to avoid issues that make us uncomfortable. Maybe we watch the weather so that we don't have to talk to each other. It's like, I don't want to have to talk to her. Do I have to talk to her? Is there supposed to be like banter? Maybe. Do I have to go see a counselor? So you go see a therapist together and find out if that's an issue. All right, now, but listen, back to the weather. Not to belabor the point, but the Bible rarely mentions the weather, I've noticed. And if you read the Bible through once, twice, three, four times, you'll notice that it rarely mentions the weather. But when it does, it's always almost a momentous occasion. Almost always. Although the first mention of weather in the Bible is very nice. It's very nice and wonderful because it talks about Jesus walking through the garden in the cool of the day. Which is very nice, but that's in Genesis 3, and you go read it for yourself, okay? Because even that mention of the weather is a portent of ominous things to come, even as far back as Genesis 3. And then the final mention of the weather in the Bible, as far as I can tell, is in Revelation chapter 16, where God rains down hail upon men so severely. Well, you don't even want to know about this hail. It's so terrifying. You know, when I lived out on the prairie, I had a fear of hail and tornadoes to a certain degree. And my fear of hail is not irrational because I saw holes in my fence that were almost the size of a golf ball from hail. That's scary. Well, the Bible talks about in the book of Revelation, God rains down hellfire, damnation, and hail upon the heads of the wicked men. And it's quite a momentous occasion if you read Revelation 16 and just check that weather out. Now, I want to get to the vaccines because the CDC has issued guidance for those seeking shelter amid severe weather, like the tornadoes that broke out in Kentucky and several other western states. And they have a tornado information page at ready.gov, so you can go check out what I'm about to tell you. Listen to this. It says, tornadoes are violently rotating columns of air that extend from a thunderstorm to the ground. Tornadoes can destroy buildings, flip cars, and create deadly flying debris. Unquote. So only a bureaucrat writing for CDC would assume that he has to define and describe tornadoes to the poor, stupid saps out there who are trying to figure out what to do. Like, what is this giant column of air that seems to be twisting through the neighborhood and ripping up all the cars? Oh, no, what to do? I know, I'll check with the government. Oh, look, Grandma, it's a tornado. Grandma's like, Shazam, I would have never known. Thank heaven for the CDC defining a tornado for us. Nobody ever heard of that before. Why, it's flipping cars just like they said on the website. Must be a tornado. By the way, have you ever noticed that the people who work for government agencies, especially the higher-ups, whether they work for the CDC or the HHS or the FDA, they never say the CDC or the HHS or the FDA. They say CDC says or HHS guidance indicates or FDA may or may not issue a ruling in. They don't say the. They talk about this government agency as if it is a godlike persona from whose body they condescend to advise us mere mortals. I'm with FDA, and I'm here to help. I'm with CDC, and I'm here to help your children better understand tornadoes. Anyway, in the CDC guidance on what to do for if a large column of air twisting through, if a tornado comes, they instruct you on what to do if you're in the path of a confirmed tornado. They want you to prepare a go kit. Mm-hmm. That's a go kit. Yeah, that's a bag that includes items to help protect you and others from COVID-19. That's right. What should be in your go kit as you flee the tornado that's flipping cars down your block, tearing the roofs off the neighbor's house? Pack your go kit with hand sanitizer and multiple clean masks for everyone age 2 or older.
No way.
Yes. And if you end up in a shelter, CDC recommends you practice social distancing, staying at least 6 feet away from other people outside of your household. Because who cares about those bastards in your household? I mean, really, if they get sick, come on. Follow CDC COVID-19 preventive actions. Wash your hands often. Cover coughs and sneezes. And follow shelter policies for wearing masks. Avoid sharing food and drink with anyone. Oh my God. Don't share your food or drink with anyone. Keep it. And of course, get a COVID-19 vaccine as soon as you can. COVID-19 vaccines help protect you and may also help protect all the people around you. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Do you notice that what they say at the end of the CDC guidance is the vaccine may help protect people around you. And they help protect you. So you notice how they build in, this is how the lawyers at CDC build in some plausible deniability just in case millions and millions of people start dying as a result of the experimental medicine that they insisted we all take. Just in case they'll be able to go back and say, look, we just said it would help and that it may help. We never promised. Anyway, is it possible that millions and millions of people could die years early, decades early, or in the next few years because of this experiment? It is possible. No way, Doug. That's never happened before. That's never happened that governments would collude to murder millions of people. Not tens of millions. Never. That's never occurred. You're some kind of conspiracy theorist. Cut it out. All right. By the way, the government has not forced us to take this vaccine. Okay, if you think it forced you, you're wrong. Because I haven't taken it, and I know a whole bunch of other people who haven't taken it because the government hasn't forced us. And when they do come to force us, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Meanwhile, let's talk about the weather some more. Let's talk about this. We're watching the local news, right? Because we just want to catch the weather. That's all. And we noticed that they report on the recent spate of looting. The looting that's been occurring for the past several weeks in amongst retailers and storefronts all across America, mostly out in the West. And the local news reporter talks about there's been an uptick in smash and grab robberies. An uptick, she called it. An uptick in smash and grab robberies is what was reported on the local news. And then they went to the COVID-19 coverage. COVID-19 cases have seen a spike. There's been a spike. A spike! So with COVID-19, there's a spike. With looting, there's an uptick. Okay. And by the way, with COVID-19, they called it a slight spike, which I found a little weird. Because if you've ever looked at a graph, there's no such thing as a slight spike. There's either a spike or there's an uptick if you look at the graph. So there's no slight spike. But with COVID, everything has to be scary. It's a spike! I mean, a slight spike, but still, it's a spike, right? That's not good. All right. So it's all Orwellian, newspeak, bizarro world propaganda. Fear-mongering on the local news, and then you get the weather, and all right. Is it even worth it anymore? I know I could look at my phone for 10 seconds and get the weather. But I don't know. I grew up watching the weather on TV. It's like, I don't know, It's one of the few things I watch on TV. One of my sole sources of entertainment anymore. I mean, those of you who are into video games and sports, you don't understand. Those of us who have abstained, we watch the local news and watch the weather. That's our big event for the day. All right, so an uptick in looting, but a spike in COVID. So, folks, I went and visited a friend at his house, and my friend has a wife who lives with him at his house, which is not unusual in and of itself, as husband and wives are often known to do just that, to live in the same house together. When I arrived at my friend's house, he let me in. I walked up the stairs, and the wife was on the back balcony in a mask, terrified, shaking, terrified. She opened the slider, and she said, "I can't be around him." Slid the slider shut. How does that make a guy like, how does that make me feel? I'm standing in my friend's hallway, looking across the great room in the kitchen into the slider, and my friend's wife basically implies that I'm a diseased cretin who's just invaded their home. I can't be around him. Slides the slider shut. Slides the slider open again. I think I'm going to go. And I said, you don't have to go. We'll go downstairs. We'll go out in the garage. And we don't even smoke anymore. So you're going to treat us like a couple of smokers, kick us outside in the freezing cold. So I said, no, I can't be around. I can't be around you, my daughter. No, she didn't say I can't be around you because she never addressed me. Not personally. I can't be around him. I can't be around him. My daughter's going in for surgery. My daughter's going in for surgery. It's COVID, COVID, COVID. She flees the house in a mask, gets in her car, drives away. With the mask on, I'm sure, all the way to wherever she went. Meanwhile, the thought crosses my mind that this hysterical woman lives with a man who she's married to and who on a daily basis comes into contact with anywhere from 10 to 100 people a day on his job, and none of them are screened for any diseases, including COVID, none of them. But she lets him in the house. Is he not a vector somehow? What about all the people he meets at work? Oh, I get it. I get it. She's not afraid of hearing about Jesus from him or any of them, so they're okay. That's it. How did I miss that one? Oh, actually, I didn't miss it. I understood it completely. And so will I confront my friend with this reality? Yes, I will. Yes, I did to some degree after she fled the house and we could just sit around like normal human beings and talk. In the house, by the way, since we don't smoke, we're allowed to sit in the house. All right. From there we go. We flee. We're going to flee from there into the Mark of the Beast file. That's right, the Mark of the Beast file, where we go to Albert Lea, Minnesota. The owner of a bistro began serving a 90-day sentence in jail on Thursday after a jury found her guilty of violating COVID-19 emergency orders from the governor. That's right. So a bistro owner opened her bistro in violation of the hysterical, unjust, tyrannical, wicked and evil lockdown orders from the hysterical governor, Tim Walz, there in Minnesota. So she's going to jail for 90 days. Oddly enough, the case took place in Freeborn County, Minnesota. Freeborn. That's right. Freeborn, but not anymore. In Minnesota, up there. Let's see. By the way, there were 6 counts against the bistro owner. 6 counts. Uh-huh. There were 6 jurors, and they deliberated for roughly 60 minutes. You do the math! Okay, that's why that's in the Mark of the Beast file. We'll just move on. into the Mark of the Beast file, where school children in Germany, according to WorldNet Daily, school children in Germany are being asked each day to go up in front of their class and state their vaccination status at school. That's right. And the unvaccinated must explain to their little classmates why they are not vaccinated. And the exercise elicits applause for some and scorn for other school children, as they are ritualistically humiliated in classic Marxist fashion, as a generation is prepared to murder 100 million people. So you people think I'm hysterical? You think I'm crazy that a generation groomed in this fashion could murder 100 million people? How about 1 billion people? After all, this isn't the olden days where the horses towed the death wagons through Poland in the 1930s. This is the technologically advanced 21st century. I mean, if 60 million died then, why not 1 billion now? 1 billion people. And from there we go, if that wasn't scary and eerie and creepy and weird enough, We go into the widespread panic file, where a man in upstate New York objected to his 11-year-old daughter getting the vaccination because she has, well, who cares why? A father said, I don't feel comfortable with my 11-year-old daughter getting vaccinated. That should be the end of the argument. But no, because his ex-wife, oh, the ex, ouch. Those of you who don't have an ex yet, don't get one. It's problematic. So he and his ex, dad and his ex, divorced in 2012. And his ex went to a judge because, you know, that's what divorced people are used to doing. They go to judges and they make demands of each other because they're uncivilized. She went to a judge and asked the judge to overrule the father's determination that the girl shouldn't get a vaccine. And the judge wrote that, listen to what this judge wrote. Quote, the specter of a killing or incapacitating disease is swirling in the environment surrounding this young girl. Scientists may never catch up to this ever-evolving and elusive virus and its variants. So waiting to be sure, as the father has asked, is simply untenable. Says a hysterical, incompetent judge, a criminal. A criminal hysteric is going to order this girl to be vaccinated. Uh-huh. So the judge ordered an appointment for the girl to get the shot immediately.
Immediately.
Uh-huh. The jurist, the judge here, the hysterical criminal, said he's concerned about an uptick in cases. An uptick, he says. Didn't he know it was a spike? He obviously didn't get the memo. Well, he's not on the local news. And the judge said that there is a state of emergency as hospitals are filling with COVID patients. So a judge is allowed to state in a ruling a bald-faced lie that hospitals are filling up with COVID patients. Oh, none of that matters anymore. Now, the judge also wrote about the father. The judge wrote, I'm somewhat perplexed that an accomplished scientist and professor would oppose a child vaccine authorized by the CDC and universally encouraged. It's universally encouraged. The judge also said, he wrote this, that the risks from the vaccine are lower than the risk that if she contracts COVID-19, which is a bald-faced lie. She's 11 years old. But this is the widespread panic file. This is hysteric. This is hysteria. This is now a classic mania where the smarter people, the judges are supposed to be smart, right? It's not like people say we're not dumb. We're smart. It's not like they say. So the judge finally writes, this court is unwilling to kick this can down the road. Meaning they won't wait and see. The father said, I want to wait and see if this vaccine is dangerous, if it's bad for people who have the conditions my daughter have. I just want to wait and see. The judge says, no, we're unwilling to kick this can down the road. It could be years before any researchers have exacting accounts of either the short or long-term consequences of the administration of this vaccine on 11-year-old girls with this child's physiological makeup. It could take years. We can't wait. There's an emergency. I'm hysterical. Somebody give me a... Someone stick a wallet in my mouth. A hysterical judge is allowed to overrule the rather thoughtful position of a father that I'm just not sure I want my 11-year-old to have this. And so the widespread panic, folks... It's real. People are... This judge, I think, actually believes this. This judge actually believes that he, she, or it is doing the right thing.
Let's go!
of you, he said, as his extremely attractive audio engineer brought an end to that bumper, and we moved back on into the final segment of the show. It's a bit of a long show, but the reason is we spent a good amount of time talking about the weather, and I never want to be accused of using talk of the weather to avoid important topics, so we're just going to add time to the end of the show to make up for all that talk about the weather. And so from that, very disturbing story of a judge overruling a father on medicine. I mean, someday these people will be put on trial. I mean, hopefully on this planet and not just on Judgment Day, but on Judgment Day, they're going to get it. But on this planet too, I hope someday there will be the equivalent of Nuremberg for these maniacs and the hysterical minions who've carried out their diabolical evil scheme to attack God, destroy Christianity, to destroy the free market, and to corrupt everything that's good and sacred and right and beautiful. And they're just evil, that's all. And speaking of that, the same people who are encouraging you to jab your kid with an experimental vaccine, the same people are singing the praises of a swimmer out at the University of Pennsylvania. The swimmer's name is Tom. No, I'm sorry, that's his last name, Tom. His name is Bill. Bill spent 3 years competing as a man. So you read the story and, like, right there, any normal person stops and says, wait a second. Why would that sentence even be here? He spent 3 years competing as a man. So 10 years ago, you would have read that sentence and you would have not understood what was happening. You would have assumed that this is some sort of typo. But not anymore. Because now when you read it, now you know right there, spent 3 years competing as a man. Now you know we're about to trip the wire fantastic. That's right. Into a reality not seen since the last days of Rome or maybe Noah, if ever. If ever. But here, we're going to go there. Because Bill, according to the Daily Mail, last Sunday, Bill put in an astounding performance. Astounding. That's right. He finished the freestyle 38 seconds ahead of his teammate, Anna. Wait a second. His teammate, Anna, is there a typo here? Oh, no, they said her teammate, but wait, his name is Bill. Oh, no, that's right. They changed his name from Bill to Leah. Why? Because he changed his name from Bill to Leah and then demanded everybody go along with it, and everybody did. So the insane children are in charge of the forward progress of civilization. Ponder that for a moment. An illegitimate apparatus of guilt-ridden criminal sex perverts is in charge of the world, and because of their guilt-ridden sex perversion, they are going to allow insane, deviant children to direct the future of civilization because they know they're illegitimate and they're not qualified, and they don't know who is. So they assume it's Bill who wants to call himself Leah and compete against the girls in the pool, swimming. The young man's win was a record, by the way.
Really?
Uh-huh. Set a record against the girls. Also managed to smash two other U.S. women's swimming records, shockingly enough. Won the 500-yard freestyle, won the 200-yard freestyle in record-setting time. That's right. I'm sorry. Did I say Bill? The swimmer actually formerly called himself Will. We named him Bill because we found out his name was William, and we had to do some research to find that out. The Daily Mail reports she won three events and set three new records, including two new Ivy League records. How appropriate is this, right? How appropriate is this that it's the Ivy League whose history and records will be tarnished by this spate of insane mania around this whole transgendered insanity? It's the Ivy League that'll be stained. And all the universities, all the there will be an indelible record that they all lost their minds at some point, if we ever pull back from this. If you or my lineage are some of the ones who survive the billion people who are about to be killed in the throes of this mania. I don't want to go any on more about this, do I? Let's see. The result, let's see, from the Daily Mail. The result meets the National Collegiate Aesthetic... I can't even say it. The result, meaning the records that have been established by this tranny, pervert, deviant child, meet the National Collegiate Athletic Association standards to qualify. Bill is now qualified to be automatically entered to compete in the national championship. Next March, Bill will be there if God refrains from the imminent raining down of hellfire, damnation, brimstone, and the hail we mentioned earlier. Speaking of the weather, that's reason number 1,206, by the way, to get or keep your children out of government schools, because the University of Pennsylvania is a government-funded institution on its way straight to hell with jet rockets, and you don't want your kids associated with that from K through 12 through the university ever. Just stop it. Turn around and flee. Now, we go from there. Speaking of deviants and perverts who have inherited the forward trajectory of civilization, we go to Sony. Sony, are you guys familiar with Sony? It's an entertainment conglomerate, produces movies and music. Sony is a major contributor to the pop culture. It's one of the pillars of the pop culture is Sony. They used to make radios and cheap stereos and the Walkman. And then they got into entertainment and they turned extraordinarily evil. When it was a bunch of little Japanese guys in a factory over there making Walkmans, they were all right. But you know what they did? They came over to America and they started rubbing shoulders with the deviants and the perverts in Hollywood. And then they got into movies and they got into music and they became utterly corrupt. The good guys at Sony just working hard to make a better Walkman, or to make a better musical device, and were corrupted and utterly perverted when they came to America, and Japan finally got the full measure of what America intended to build in Japan. When America rebuilt Japan, it was rebuilt by missionaries and Christians. MacArthur made sure he sent them. But Japan was remade in America's image. And so when the Japanese came to Hollywood, they were utterly seduced by the perverts and the deviants there. And now they're hell-bent on destroying the world. And the highest offices at Sony are full of perverts and molesters and deviants. There's a website, People vs. Preds, peopleVpreds.com. They caught a high-ranking executive vice president trying to seduce a 15-year-old boy online. so this group, People vs. Preds, they front as adolescent boys and girls on Grindr, which is I don't even want to go into what that is. Speaking of something that should be illegal. Anyway, they go on, they exchange messages with this vice president of whatever over at Sony, telling and saying that they're 15 years old, and the decoy repeatedly tells the perv that he's 15 years old. So what does the perv do? He invites the boy over to a house. And anyway, the folks from People vs. Pred show up instead of the boy. A la, there was a show that used to do this. Anyway, so the guy's busted. He shows up at the house and they get him on camera. Of course, this is all alleged at this point, even though the guy's on videotape. Sony released a statement because nobody wanted to actually answer questions from a podium in regards to this. And they acknowledged that the inappropriate behavior has been made aware of the situation. It's inappropriate. The employee has been terminated. So first of all, an executive vice president is hardly an employee. I mean, you can say that when you fire him and you're embarrassed about it. But he's an executive vice president. Anyway, the behavior that they just portrayed as inappropriate in their press release is the very behavior they portray on screen every day and in the music that they make. That's what they promote. They are They are promoters of sexual immorality and unrestrained lust and sexual immorality and pornography. Every day, that's what Sony does. And then in their press release, they basically admit they're guilty. They basically admit, look, we know this is wrong, but that's what we do every day. But hey, you got to make a living, right? How are you going to make a living these days? How can we compete? Speaking of competing and making a living and all of that, we go to the Yeah Right file. Yeah, right. Brooke Shields. Brooke Shields talked about her interview in 1981 with Barbara Walters. Brooke Shields, by the way, is now 56 years old. That caught me like, wow. Brooke Shields, 56 years old. Brooke Shields was dangled before my generation, back when we were 10, 11, 12 years old. She was dangled in front of us like a piece of bait. She was dangled in front of us like a piece of bait, half naked by the pop culture. And she reeled us all in. All of us were reeled in to some degree by the allure of sexual immorality from this half-naked teenage girl. And then the other one was Bo Derek, by the way, who we saw on TV the other night. Bo Derek, who's probably pushing 70 now, was on TV with some unattractive dyke. I can't remember the dyke with the square jaw and the fake, whatever. The dyke on Fox had Bo Derek on.
No, it was PBS, wasn't it?
No, I believe it was Fox. I don't know. Yeah. Who can sort out the dykes on what channel? Who has more dykes, Fox or PBS? I would lay money it's Fox on any given Sunday. So yeah, that's right. She was on Bruce's show. Says Bo Derek, and Bo Derek looks basically like a cadaver. She looks like a cadaver. I'm not making fun of her looks in the fact that I'm saying she's ugly, because she's not ugly. I'm not saying that. I'm saying she's pushing 70 or maybe 80 years old. I don't know, but she looks like a cadaver. Why? Because when we all get that old, that's what we start to look like. Because we're practically a cadaver. You're one foot, you're one step away from being a cadaver. So you start looking like a cadaver. And one thing I note now, Bo Derek was on Bruce's show on Fox, shilling about some animal rights thing. I don't know. She cares about dogs and cats. What a wonderful person. That's surely going to get her qualified into the seventh heaven. Because she was against stomping on kittens and puppies, is Bo Derek. After seducing a generation and luring them into a lifetime of the slavery of sexual immorality, Bo Derek now cares about kittens, and that makes her feel better. Anyway, one thing I noticed about Bo Derek, looks like a cadaver, right? But her eyes, she still has the eyes. Those piercing blue eyes that she had when she was dangled in front of my generation, like a piece of sex meat or whatever. I don't know what you want to call it. That's what she was. And that's what we all thought about. That's what we all bought into. Me and all my teenage friends, I remember I was there. Don't tell me that it didn't happen to you. Don't tell me that you're not sure what happened or you don't know what was going on. We all knew what was going on. From the time we're 12 years old, we all knew. Anyway, Bo Derek does an interview this past week, apparently, with someone. And in the interview, she doesn't exactly attack Barbara Walters, but she talks about her interview with Barbara Walters in 1981, which I remember, everybody remembers. We all remember it. It was a cultural moment, trust me. She was a teenager, and Walters interviewed Brooke Shields on camera alongside her mother. Brooke Shields' mother was on after Brooke Shields had appeared half naked in a jeans commercial. In a pornographic commercial that was done by Calvin Klein that we all saw. That commercial is a civilizational event, what happened there. And so Brooke Shields, because so many people were upset, normal people who go to church and who care about their kids, they were astonished that a teenager would be dangled half naked on TV in front of God and everybody. And people were outraged. So Brooke had to go on TV and try to tamp it down. And her mom went on with her to give some credibility to the teenager who's half naked, seducing a generation of vulnerable young men. Anyway, Brooks says that Brooke Shields says she was annoyed with Walters because she asked her a series of uncomfortable and salacious questions meant to evoke and imply and basically to evoke from men the basest human lust and envy is basically. Now, Brooke Shields doesn't realize that's what was happening. She just says, well, they wanted to have their point of view. They didn't care about my point of view. Nobody cared about your point of view, Brooke. Nobody cared about anything about you, Brooke. But the interview was designed to evoke the worst of men. The worst. And Barbara Walters did it. I watched it. I was there. I'm sure my dad watched it. I watched it. My brother and my cousin, everybody watched it. Shields, this past week, reminisced about the interview on a podcast with some idiot. And she said listen to this. Brooke Shields says she didn't realize the double entendre of the Calvin Klein campaign. She didn't realize that when she appeared topless talking about her jeans, that was anything sexual. Okay, Brooke, you're lying. You knew. We all knew. Everybody knew. Barbara Walters knew. Your mom knew. I don't know where your dad was. Be ashamed of himself. Brooke Shields says, yeah, I didn't think it had to do with underwear or anything. I didn't think it was sexual. She says, I think the assumption is that I was much more savvy than I ever really was. Like, she didn't really know. Brooke, I don't assume you were more savvy than you ever really were. I know you were. Because I know I was. I know we all were. Everybody wants to act like maybe they're not exactly sure what's going on. Well, stop lying to yourselves. We all know what's going on. And more importantly, God knows exactly what's going on, and he knows exactly what you know about it. And if you try to lie to him, that's not going to work. You're going to suffer some loss or something bad when you lie to God about what you know. Don't act like you don't know what's going on. Don't act like all of this isn't perfectly clear. The only people we get a pass, that we can give a pass, the only people I would give a pass are people like me and my brother when we were 4 or 5 or 6 maybe. And we were, and some corrupt, deviant pervert in the neighborhood hid pornography where we would find it, and we found it. So when you're 5 or 6, hey, that damages you for life, and only that pervert should be punished and burned and killed forever, and tortured while he's killed forever. But when you're 13 and 14, and I'm sorry, Brooke, don't lie to me. You know what you were doing, and your mom certainly knows, and you did it. And you should face up to it and admit it. And don't act like maybe I wasn't sure. Don't. Just cut it out. Just stop it. All right. I'm going on too much. I apologize. But I said I had to add some time at the end to make up for the weather. So some good news out of Portland, Oregon. More good news out of the Northwest, where it's always rainy and dreary. And there's just the pot smoke in the air and the stench of damp flannel. Yeah, that's it. But there's a massive exodus from the public schools. Oregon's largest school district has reported a massive drop in enrollment alongside a massive drop in achievement scores that they'd rather not talk about. Let's see. Enrollment dropped more than 7% from what was projected. Uh-huh. Yeah, actual enrollment for K through fifth grade dropped by about 7% in the past year. It's amazing. So what does it take to wake people up? The whole world has to go berserk and insane. But hey, we'll take it at this point, right? Now, meanwhile, we have reason number 1,207 to get or keep your children out of the government schools, especially if you're out in California. California, several school districts are phasing out grades below C. Phasing out grades below C for high school students. That's right. This plan is meant to re-engage students and help them get accepted into public colleges. So you can't get into college if your grades are too low. So we're just going to eliminate the low grades. Because, I mean, we can all pretty much admit that everyone in the local college is a moron, a deviant, a sex pervert. We're really sending you there to get high and be seduced so that we can use you later for what we want. And we don't really care if you get an education. So let's just get rid of this D and C and D and F. Those are, well, we'll keep the C's because. All right. So just so you know, folks, the grading system as we know it in America. Well, wait a minute. First, let me quote from Nydia, assistant principal. She says, our hope is that, like, students, like, begin to, like, see school as, like, a place of learning where they can, like, risk and learn from, like, mistakes instead of a place of, like, compliance, you know? I mean, right now we have, like, a system where, like, we give a million points for, like, a million pieces of paper that students turn in without, like, much attention to what they're actually, like, learning, you know? Unquote. That's an assistant principal out in Oakland, California. The grading system started in the late 1800s at Mount Holyoke. A was excellent, 95 to 100. B was good, 85 to 94. C was fair, 76 to 84. D was passed, but barely at 75. And everything below 75 failed. Oh, no. But now they're just going to eliminate that. All right, meanwhile, from the war file, a senator from Mississippi has suggested that he will not rule out first strike nuclear action against Russia in the dispute over Ukraine. Okay. Not going to rule out first. Okay. I think that might be a little bit of extreme. Anyway, he says we might have ships in the Black Sea all the way to first strike nuclear action. He says he won't rule that out. Now, the problem is Ukraine wants to join Europe, and free Europe, by the way, is a, they say they want to join free Europe. Free Europe is a whorehouse filled with child molesters, and for some reason Ukraine wants to join them, and Russia doesn't want that. Why? Because Russia's just normal people. They're not a bunch of sex perverts and child molesters. They're a traditional geopolitical adversary of ours. They're out for their own gain. We know that, right? But what you may not realize is that Russia and Ukraine are just one country. They've been one country since the days of Rurik in the 9th century. Kievan Rus was founded. Russia was founded in Ukraine. Anyway, from then until now, it's been just normal men are men and women are women, and but now the Ukrainians want to join with the woke crowd, and the Russians are, anyway, I'm not for first strike nukes. That's the Weekly Worldview, folks. The Lord Terry will return next week. Until then, I want to thank everyone who makes it happen here at the Weekly Worldview Studios. If the Lord tarries, we'll see you next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.